Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for, even imagine. Amen. There are so many different entry points for this gospel, and I choose to focus on the wise men. My mother had a nutcracker collection, and I inherited it, and I noticed that two of them remind me of the Magi, of the wise men. This one in particular because of the sword on the side and the striped pants, and this Middle Eastern person with the dark glasses just simply remind me of the wise men. And that's my sermon. So the wise men came from the east, following a star, looking for the one who was born king of the Jews, with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We love this story. So in preparing this sermon, I noticed online that a church supply warehouse was selling a set of three little boxes with gold, frankincense, and myrrh for only $29.40. But they were sold out for the season. So we have no gold, frankincense, and myrrh with us today. And we'll probably have to wait till August of 2015 for them to restock. So this particular story of the wise men is only in Matthew. And this story from Matthew is directed toward the people of Israel, the Jewish community. And he begins his gospel because what they would like to hear is, who is this Jesus? And so he begins the gospel with a genealogy, starting with Abraham. And he goes through generations until we hear at the very end, Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who was called the Messiah. And then after this genealogy, Matthew describes the birth of Jesus. Now in my Bible, this description is about 4 inches long, but the story of the wise men is 6 inches long. And that's an important point, because right from the beginning of this gospel, Matthew is announcing that this Savior, this person Jesus, is for everyone. That is what Epiphany Sunday is all about. And today we celebrate the manifestation of Jesus to the world. Epiphany means that. Now, there are differences between the familiar story of the birth of Jesus in Luke and the account in Matthew. For instance, in Luke, that is where we find the story of the shepherds. Matthew is the wise men. Luke, we take right into the stable for that scene. Matthew takes us to Herod's palace in Jerusalem. Luke is a manger. But Matthew talks about gifts, lavish gifts from kings. Luke speaks of angels. Matthew speaks of a dream. The shepherds are nearby on the hillside, and these wise men are from far away. They're very exotic, aren't they? Now, these wise men, in the 6th century, were given names. They're not in scripture, but in the 6th century, in a church in Ravenna, Italy, we first hear of Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. And in this particular gospel, we hear of 3 gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts that were presented. And so then we assume there are only 3 wise men. There could have been many wise men, and they all brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So it's interesting, our assumptions about these particular people. Now, these particular wise men could have been from the priestly class of Zoroaster, astrologers or astronomers, hence we have their focus on a star. But the most significant message in this gospel is that these wise men are Gentiles. They are not local. They are not Jewish. They're from far away, and they represent all of us, that all people were called to receive Jesus as the Savior. So we have this story, and we have these men leaving their foreign land and going to Jerusalem, the capital city of this Jewish community. And they want to find out where exactly, because of the scripture reference to Bethlehem, where is this king of the Jews? Well, this freaks out Herod because he's a king and he doesn't want someone else being a king also. So at some point, he turns and asks his chief priests and scribes to give him a little more info about all this. And I find it fascinating that they were able to answer right away and quote scripture. And yet, they did not bother to go find who was referred to in that passage of scripture. There's layers of meaning in this gospel. Even the word that they were from the east has meaning. The east actually translates the rising of the sun. In fact, in Latin, the rising of the sun is translated orient. But in this particular reference to the rising of the sun in the east, we have the suggestion of light. And the opening of the first reading from Isaiah today gives us an amazing description of this call. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So these Gentile wise men follow this rising of the sun, this star. They want to find out where this promised person is. In antiquity, stars that shone brightly, that were not common, were often thought of as indicating, aha, someone special has been born, or aha, someone historical, someone significant to all of us has died. So they knew that this star had special historical relevance, and these wise men were going to pursue it. But one of the things that really struck me in this passage is how observant these wise men are. They arrive kind of starry-eyed into the presence of Herod, a king. And they're all excited about their journey and what they want to seek. And pretty soon, I think they observe, these men who are observers of stars and galaxies, they observe Herod in a new light. They probably noticed the way he was talking, how he was looking at the chief priests and scribes, the kind of questions they were asking. And these observant wise men began to take on an understanding of the volatility of the situation. And so at some point, in their wisdom, truly as wise men, they make their exit, they find their way by way of the star to Bethlehem, and they arrive. And I think they arrived with a deeper understanding of what God was up to. Because we have something in that moment that's special. The word joy. They find Jesus and all of a sudden they are filled with joy. In this particular gospel, I think there are several messages. And one of them is, do we seek the wisdom that we need to be observers in this world, to understand what is before us, to read what is before us? Do we have the courage to follow what's going on in our own hearts? Do we have the courage to follow the light? And are we sincere? The wise men were sincere. Herod obviously was not. So what does this story of the wise men have to do with us today? Why are we dealing with the manifestation of Jesus? We hear this story day, year after year. What does this story call us to be or call us to do? I think God tailors each call, each stirring in our heart to the person that you are. But I think these three wise men give us the three gifts that we need to be able to manifest the light of the world today. And that is courage, sincerity, and we take this word of wisdom and we use it to make our decisions. Well, it just so happens that in Time magazine last year, that they chose people who followed a call that was actually dangerous. And those are the people who worked trying to eliminate Ebola in Africa. And this particular series of Time magazines highlighted a few of the doctors. One of them was Dr. Jerry Brown, a Liberian. He was the medical director of a hospital. The Eternal Love, Winning Africa Hospital. And the title of the article about him, The Ones Who Answered the Call. Now, this particular hospital has a goal of healing physically and of manifesting the light of Christ in the world. So Dr. Brown started working with patients who had Ebola. His wife had told him, play it safe. Don't go near them. For weeks, he did not tell her that he was helping Ebola victims. But she discovered that something was up because his boxer shorts had changed color. They used chlorine to disinfect the Ebola fighters. So his wife confronted her husband. He admitted that he was helping victims of Ebola. They prayed about it. They talked about it. And she said, be careful. Be wise. Have your courage. You are sincere. There was another person, another doctor, Dr. Kent Brantley. He was sent from America, from an organization called Samaritan's Purse. If you remember the story of the Good Samaritan, it was a stranger who found a victim on the road and used his own money, his own purse, to pay for the health, to pay for a place for this person to stay while he got well. So Samaritan's Purse sent Dr. Brantley to Africa, but he did acquire Ebola. So Samaritan's Purse sent him from a chartered plane back to America, and he eventually recovered. Both of these men were absolutely men of faith. They sensed a call. They sensed a place to manifest the light. They went forward with courage. They used wisdom as best they could, and they were absolutely sincere. That's what the wise men can continue to represent for us. How are we messengers of courage, sincerity, and wisdom? How do we manifest the light? How do we observe what's before us, what the needs are, and pray about how we can respond? Now, one of the ways that will help us respond is actually using the gifts the wise men presented. In fact, in one of the articles that I read, it talked about these three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh being presented to Mary as the first baby shower. But for us today, gold represents the value of Jesus' identity as a king. And have you let Jesus be king of your life? Frankincense affirms the identity of Jesus as the Son of God. How are you growing to know that in your life more and more? And myrrh, an anointing oil, was used as a symbol in this gospel story to remind us that someday Jesus would be anointed with oil after he was crucified. So we have a faith that is challenged. And may we realize that in our world there are forces that would like to eliminate the light. How do we keep it burning? It is our call. We are meant to be wise people today, with courage, sincerity, and wisdom. Amen.